Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Lord, we pray that your kingdom come. And if today is the day, then hallelujah. And so we just come before you today, full of worship, full hearts, pouring over our praise to you. And we just ask that you open our hearts to be receptive of the word that Brother Al Hodges brings to us today, that we may be transformed and changed by it. And so we ask that you bless him this morning. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I'm very happy to be with you today and to have the opportunity to worship with you. And we have worshiped already today, and we praise God for that. We do pray for Pastor Cal and his quick recovery. And I know you'll be very glad when he gets back. And so we want to pray for him today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray, and Lord, we praise you for Second Mile Church, Lord, and we thank you, dear God, for the ministry that you have raised up here. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings of health and restoration to Brother Cal today, and Lord, we ask you, dear Jesus, just to fill him with your spirit, Lord, and to give him, Lord, everything that he needs as he leads this congregation under your leadership. Heavenly Father, we do pray today that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask that you speak to the people of this nation, dear God. Father, we ask that you bring true awakening, dear Heavenly Father, to your church, and Lord, to those who do not know you. And Lord, that you show yourself strong. And that, Lord, we ask even today as we open your word, Lord, that you will reveal yourself and call to yourself each and every one of us, but especially, Lord, those who need to return to you or those who need actually to come for salvation. Lord, we ask that you do what you want to do in every heart and in every life, in this building today and in this hour. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As I was studying the Word of God yesterday morning, I came across a passage that I told my wife later. I said, I wish I had an opportunity to preach that. And about an hour later, the phone rang and I needed to come. I had an invitation to come here and preach. So, I pray that this is God's message for you. I know it is spoken to my heart. If you turn with me to the book of Exodus, there are two passages that I'd like for us to keep in mind this morning. The book of Exodus, chapter 8. And then we want to look at a couple of verses in Revelation, chapter 16. So the book of Exodus, chapter 8. And the book of Revelation, chapter 16. And both of these passages have to do with, well, God first of all, but also with frogs. You heard me right, frogs, F-R-O-G-S. And the first passage in Exodus, chapter 8, we find in this story, a little context, if you will, we find that Moses has been sent to Pharaoh because God's people are in Egyptian bondage, and God is willing to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage, and so Pharaoh's heart doesn't accept that. Pharaoh wants to be king, and he does not want to bow to God. And so God sends some persuaders Pharaoh's way. And the second persuader, also called a plague, is a plague of frogs that come up out of the river and just literally cover the land. And it's in Exodus chapter 8, and the first few verses, God says to Moses, I'm going to send frogs on the land if Pharaoh does not let my people go so that they can worship me. So Moses goes and tells Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, no. And the frogs come out of the river. And if you read these first few verses, you'll find that the frogs are everywhere. Just imagine. Maybe kids, you have a little better imagination than some of us adults. Can you imagine frogs jumping everywhere? I mean, you look in the offering bucket and there's frogs jumping out. You look in under your seat and there's frogs jumping around, and you can't even walk across the floor because frogs are everywhere, just hopping and croaking and jumping. And there was a reason for that. One of the Egyptian gods that they worshiped was actually the frog. Now, I want you to get this. The frog for the Egyptians represented, are you ready? Represented fertility. All aligned with sexual license and immorality and the fertility cult and all those things. And so God sent all the frogs in to show Pharaoh that he is God over everything. So, in Exodus chapter 8, I've told you part of the story, but let's look at verse 8 in that chapter. It says, then Pharaoh called for Moses. Now remember, frogs are everywhere. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat. In other words, pray the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go so they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying, when, underline the word when shall I intercede for you that your servants and your people to destroy the frogs from you and from your houses, that they may remain in the river only? Verse 10, so he, that is Pharaoh, said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from you and from your houses and from your servants and from your people. They shall remain in the river only. Now, I just want to say at this point, do you not find it curious that Pharaoh wanted to spend one more night with the frogs? Why didn't he say, get them out now? I'm sick of these things. Shoo, get them out. Pray that the Lord will cause them to just immediately die. But Pharaoh, rather than saying that, he said to Moses, I think I can handle this until tomorrow. Pray tomorrow. I wonder why he did that. Well, we may never know, but maybe it was like, maybe he was saying to himself, I like being king. If I say now, I'm submitting myself to God. And I'm the God around here. I'm the king around here. And I'm not going to bow to any other God except me. Maybe that was why. All right, frogs everywhere. Moses prays the next day, and the frogs disappear. They die, and they're gathered up into heaps, and the land stunk, the Bible says. But you'll find as you read through Exodus that Pharaoh continued to harden his heart against God, and yet I want you to know that there's a tomb somewhere in Egypt that the archaeologists can uncover and show us. But God is the one on the throne today. So God won out. But I want you to keep in mind the frogs in Egypt and look over in Revelation. Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 16, this talks about the very last days. I don't know about you, but I sense something happening in our world, especially in the last week or the last 2 or 3 weeks, that catches people's attention. Many of us are sad because of the things that have gone on, and we pray for the Kirk family, and we pray for so much that God is doing and so much of the evil that's in the world. But Revelation speaks of the last days. And by the way, it includes frogs. Look what in chapter 16 of Revelation in verse 13 says. And I saw three unclean spirits like what? Like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Jesus says at this point, it's in red in some Bibles, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And they gathered them together to the place in Hebrew called Armageddon. Now, first of all, notice where these latter-day frogs came from. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, which is the devil. They came out of the mouth of the beast, which represents a world leader in the end time, or world leaders. They came out of the mouth of the prophet, which is those who prophesy false religion and false hope. Now, here's the challenge for us this morning. God, in these days, is giving out a call. Just like he called Pharaoh many years ago to repent and to believe in him, he is calling everyone to repent and to believe and to obey him today. And yet, there are people like Pharaoh who resist that call. Many people would say, I know it's a good thing to bow to God, to receive him, to believe in him, to follow him, but I think I'll do that tomorrow. And in essence, what they do is they say, I really prefer one more night with the frogs, and then I'll deal with my sin. Then I'll deal with the things that are plaguing my life and my family and my country. I believe there are some calls that God would like to make to us as believers. I believe that the Lord is calling his children, his backslidden children, to repentance and to return to him. In fact, if you'd like to turn there over in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, and even 14, it says this, and this is God speaking. He says, return backsliding Israel, says the Lord. This is Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse 12, 13, and 14. He says, return backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. There's where the frogs come in. God's own children preferring this liaison, this intimate liaison, illicit liaison with the frogs of this world. You have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. Let me say this to you this morning. When I was a 12-year-old boy, I heard the gospel of Jesus and I believed and I asked the Lord to come into my life and to save me. But I want to tell you, even with a shamed face, that there have been many times in my life as a Christian that I have backslidden rather than go forward for the Lord. But I have returned to Him and He has healed me and He has given me abundant blessings because of walking with Him. But let me tell you, there is no place for a Christian to be happy in the Lord while you are backslidden in the life of sin and the frogs of sin are hopping all around your life. The Bible tells us in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Be steadfast in the faith. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, and it says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to think about that, because this is not written to lost people. It's written to save people. And he's saying, how can you escape if you neglect your salvation? Salvation is like riding a bicycle. If you don't keep pedaling, you're soon going to go down. Or in this passage in Hebrews, It has a word picture painting salvation like a river. Know any rivers around here? If you were to be in Nashville and you got in a boat and you allowed the current to carry you at the current's own pace, you would eventually wind up right out here. Right? This is what the scripture is talking about in Hebrews. It's challenging us not to be content with backsliding, but to go forward always. He says, when you get saved, you are like putting into the river of life. You're putting into God's river of salvation, and you're going along. But one day you look over to the bank and you see something that delights you and something that you are attracted to, and you decide you'll just dock over to the side. And you dock over to the side and you play around with the frogs of sin and the water just keeps going, right? You don't stop the current of salvation. It just keeps going. And one day you wake up as a Christian and you say, I'm convicted by God. I'm going to get rid of the frogs of sin out of my life. I'm going to cease this backsliding. I'm going to get back into the water. I'm going to start serving Him. Lord, forgive me. I'm going to serve You again. And you get back into the water and you go on down the stream. But let me tell you, you will never be as far in life, in the Christian life, as you would have been had you not docked to the side. And that's what he means when he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? One of the greatest things in the Bible, one of the greatest verses in the Bible is this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. So, if we do confess, we can get back in. But there are people that we would influence for Christ. There are people that there are things that we would have done for Christ that we will never get back unless we get in and go on. God says, return to me, O backsliding children. And I pray that If you are like I have been sometimes, if you are backslidden right now, if you're not really serving the Lord right now, I pray that this morning you will get back in and you will not spend one more night with the frogs of sin. There's another call, and it is also to the church, to the children of God. And he's saying to us today, he said, I want you to stand. I want you to stand for me, and I want you to serve me. And it's a call. This world is perishing in sin, and it's starving to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6, I believe it is, in chapter 7. And it tells about the country or the city of Samaria that was attacked by the Syrian army. And imagine this in ancient days. Here is Elisha the prophet, and he's in the city of Samaria, and the walls of the city are round about the city. But outside the walls, all around is the Syrian army. People cannot get out of the city. And they're doomed, and they're starving to death because there's no food in the city. And Elisha says to the king, he says, tomorrow you're going to have more to eat than you can possibly imagine. Somebody scoffed and said, oh, that can't be. But Elijah said, it's true because God says it's true. Anytime God says something is true, you can count on that. There were four leprous beggars who were outcasts, and they were on the outside of the gates of the city, and they were trapped between the Syrian army, the enemy, and the population on the inside who was dying and starving to death. And here are these four beggars, and they're starving to death. And one of them said to the other, we're dying. We are going to die soon. We're starving to death. We can't go back in the city. If we go back in the city, we're sure to die. But maybe if we go to the Syrian army, to the enemy, we can get their favor. And if they don't like us, if they decide to, they can certainly kill us. But if we die, we die. So they started out. And they went from the gate of the city toward the Syrian army. And lo and behold, there was nobody in the camp of the Syrians. Because God had allowed the Syrians to hear during the night a noise that scared them to death. And they thought an army was coming to attack them. And they ran and they left all their goods. They left their tents. They left their goods. They left their food. They left everything. And they ran as fast as they could. Only God can do that. And here these four beggars, they come into the tent. And they see food that's been cooked but not eaten. And they start gobbling down. And they see treasures, and they see swords, and they see all kinds of things, and they start hiding it away. And they say, man, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Don't know what happened, but man, we're going to live. And so as they were hiding everything, and as they were gorged because they ate everything they could, one of them said to the other, are you ready? We do not well. For this is a day of good news. And we need to tell the king's family. We need to tell the people in the city. So they can also live. They can eat some of this food. And so they went back in. And they told the king and they told the people of the city. And the city went out and everybody lived that day. Everybody except the man who doubted God's word. And he was killed and he was trampled to death. Someone has said that among Christians today, those of us who attend church regularly, those of us who are satisfied in going to church and singing the hymns and in all that, among us who are faithful, the biggest sin is the sin of silence. Amen. The sin of silence. But this is, the beggar said, this is a day of good news. And as we watch the news and as we are disheartened by the terrible tragedies around us and the wickedness around us, if we remain silent, brothers and sisters, we do not well. And how is it that we could be satisfied with the frogs of indecision, the frogs of fearfulness, and the frogs of even wickedness among us, and allow it to stop us from standing for the Lord and speaking for the Lord? Amen. This is what we need to do today, and I need to rededicate myself, and maybe you need to rededicate yourself to say, Lord, no more just riding along with the current, but Lord, I want to tell others and pull others into the current of salvation. Lord, I've got a family member who needs Jesus. I've got a neighbor who needs Jesus, a co-worker who will die and literally go to hell unless he finds Jesus. Let me speak. Let me stand for you. No more nights with the frogs of indecision or procrastination. There's one other call, and it's not to the church. It is to lost people. And it is so important. Not only does God call His children who are backslidden to return to Him, not only does He call those of us who are faithful to stand and speak for Him, but He calls the lost of this world to believe the gospel and be saved. Amen. It is a clarion call of compassion. In John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus goes on to say that for him who has not believed, he is already condemned. He is already living with the frogs of sin, the demonic frogs of deception, the demonic frogs of sexual immorality or of addiction. And he is already living there, and perhaps he's just a good person and he believes that by being good he can go to heaven, and the frog of deception has deceived him to know that he needs salvation and that he is condemned already. I ask you this morning, if you can get to heaven because you're good, why did Jesus come and die on the cross of Calvary? God says there is none good, no, not one, and that we've all sinned and come short of His glory, and that the gift of God is eternal life, where? In Jesus Christ our Lord, no other place. And God would call you, if you've never been saved, He would call you to believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You may say, well, I've got so many sins. I don't think God would want me. I'm too big a sinner. There's some who would say that. There's a song that recently has come to my attention. It's not brand new anymore, but it goes like this: what love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not the sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they were many, His mercy is more. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never committed your life to Him, then you need to do so today. Because He is the one who saves. And He does not promise you tomorrow. In fact, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. Right now. As is custom in this church, we're going to sing a song here in a moment. And it will be during that song that we need to make decisions. As a Christian, if you are in a backslidden condition, you need to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm coming back to You. And you may want to walk down here and share that. And just, I'll be happy to pray with you. And I know others. We have deacons and others who would pray with you. You need to come back to the Lord. And this is the day. You need not to wait and spend one more night with the frogs of sin in your life. If you are a Christian and you know it, but you've never told anybody about Jesus, someone said that 99% of Christians in America will live their whole Christian life and die and never try to share Jesus with one other soul. That's pitiful. Maybe you have never shared Jesus with someone and you'd say, I'm scared to death to try. It's okay. It's okay if you're afraid. But courage is when the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say. And He will, all you need to do is step out and open your mouth, and I guarantee you, He will give you what to say. Amen. And you may need to say to the Lord this morning, in my Christian life, I'm not the witness that I need to be. I'm not standing for Jesus in the marketplace or at work or at school or wherever you are. I'm not standing for Him like I need to. I'm not opening my mouth like I should. I will not spend one more night with the frogs of disobedience. But today, Lord, I stand for You. And you may need to come forward and just rededicate your life and ask this congregation to pray for you, that God give you courage to do exactly what He wants you to do, what He wants all of us to do. And then, very importantly, there may be one or two or several of you who never have truly been saved. If you were to die right now, you'd go to hell and spend eternity in hell. But Jesus has paid for your sins on the cross. And He holds to you salvation. He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I will sup with him and he with me. I guarantee you that the Lord does not want you to spend one more night, one more minute with the frogs. Don't be a Pharaoh. Don't be a Pharaoh who says, well, I don't want to give up control of my life. I'm pretty much king of my life. No, you cannot hang on to the frogs and walk in faith at the same time. But at the moment that you trust Jesus, you'll take the frogs of sin and guilt and lostness away. And He'll give you eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are asking You right now, Lord, to speak to our hearts in a way that only You can. Father, we ask for courage to step out and to make the decision that You want us to make. To say yes. Yes, Lord, I will not spend one more night with the frogs. I will not spend another second in my sin. But Lord, I trust You. I will stand for You. I will live for You. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a prayer room also in the back. But make the decision that God is leading you to make today. And if I can pray with you, I'd be happy to pray with you. You come forward. Others would do that. Some may want to use the altar. Let's all stand as we sing, Just As I Am.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.